Lord. Father, let us come together in one mind in your spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. It's part of the armor. It's part of the armor of God. Lift up the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, Father, as we take up your sword this morning, as we take up the living word this morning, Father, let it cut away the fleshly parts of our heart, Father, and just make a brighter path and a broader path for our feet, Lord, as we pursue you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. As I said earlier, we're in 98. You could read 98:7 to the end.
Excuse me, just I'll be back.
Go right ahead.
Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Okay. We spent a lot of time on 98:7. If anybody has anything to say about that, we'll start there. If not, we'll start on 98:8. This big group here, I don't know, the voice of many waters, it's a little trickle, but it's okay. The trickle's good. It's still good. If not, we'll go ahead into Psalms 98:8 then. We can always go back if something comes up that we want to talk about. But in Psalms 98:8, it says, let the floods clap their hands. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Well, you know, the floods clap their hands, okay? Let the hills be joyful together. So we have to understand that these are types and shadows and metaphors and whatever. So, let the floods clap their hands. The word floods, of course, you know, the initial definition is a stream or a river.
That's what the NIV, the New King James, says river. Yeah.
It says river.
Yeah.
Okay. So. But when you dig a little deeper, it's, and this is going to be a theme here today, is that word flow, F-L-O-W. And in fact, it means flow together. But it even gets better than that. The root is to shine, beam, it's a light, and to burn. So if the floods are clapping their hands, wouldn't you say that's pretty much us, huh? We're clapping our hands, and I'll give you a definition of clap your hands here in a minute, but I want to read Micah 4:1. In Micah 4:1, it says, and I think it's really great, very appropriate, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. Well, who's the mountain? Who's the top of the mountain?
God.
Well, us.
Same thing.
Yeah. I mean,
Mount
you know,
Zion.
If you're talking about Mount Zion, who's Mount Zion? It's us. And it's God in us.
Right.
Or we wouldn't be able to be saying it's us.
Right.
It's not us, per se. It's God in us. You know, so, but I just thought this was interesting because it says that it's going to come to pass. This is going to happen, folks. I mean, it's going to happen that the mountain of the house of the Lord, okay, us, we're going to be established. We are already established. We're being established in the top of that mountain. You can call it sons of God. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But it's, you know, call it revealing of the sons of God. You can say whatever you want, but this is going to happen where there will be those established in the top of that mountain And it's not us that's exalted above the hills. It's Jesus. It's the Lord exalted above the hills. But the most important part of this verse is that people shall flow unto it. God's going to bring people to us. And they're going to flow into us and receive what they can't receive anywhere out in the world.
Can I say something about
that? Yeah.
Isaiah 2:2 is almost exactly the same thing.
Is it?
It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it.
Out
of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So
that's good.
That's a double witness there. Yeah.
That's really good. But it's interesting how God is going to use that remnant. God is going to use that group that he has set aside for his plan and purpose.
And can I say one other thing?
Uh-huh.
The only difference between those two scriptures is in Isaiah, it says, all nations shall flow into it. And in Micah, it says, all people.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's doing there is he's really telling you what the nations are.
People.
It's the people.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, you were a prophet to the nations.
Yeah.
I had a prophecy over me. I mean, back in, I was a baby Christian, went to a full gospel businessman's meeting. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I will send you to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a baby Christian, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Africa or, you know, India or whatever.
See, that's the way your mind works.
Because your mind, especially as a baby Christian, you don't have all the spiritual knowledge to be able to, you know, discern and dissect what some of the things he says.
Well, see, even now, the teaching that you do when you're teaching this class on Sunday goes out to the nations because it goes out on the internet. And anybody can hear it that happens to stumble across. If they type anything concerning wings, it's going to pop up.
It's going to pop up.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so so that word flow is that word floods. And it's, again, to shine. Okay, now when you look at the root word of that word floods, now you can understand what we're saying here. Makes sense that we are to shine.
Mm-hmm.
We are to beam forth. We are to be that light. He is the Father of lights. Well, who's the Father? Who's the lights that he's the Father of?
Mm-hmm.
Us. Sure. And that we are to burn. You know, by burning, it's not a negative thing. We're to burn with the passion and the power of the Lord and with his glory, and and whatever is burned and consumed, it's the hay, wood, and stubble that needs to be burnt and consumed. So I just thought that was interesting. Let the floods clap their hands. Well, first of all, who's got hands? People. Who claps their hands?
People.
So guess what? The floods mean us. So anyway. That word clap is meaning a clap of exultation. Like after we sing songs of praise to the Lord out in the sanctuary, you know, we'll clap our hands. We're exalting him. We are lifting him up because he is the Almighty God. But at the root of it, I thought was interesting. The clap is exultation. You think of standing up, clapping, and whatever, raising hands, whatever. But the root of it is to bow down. So that root of that word clap is bow down. Well, when you bow down, what are you doing? You're humbling yourself and worshiping something. You know, hopefully you're not bowing down to something other than the Lord. But there's a lot of people out there bowing down to different idols throughout the world that will someday bow down to the Lord, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So it's amazing how these last two verses really bring together this thing of God wills that none should perish. I mean, it really brings it all together. So anyway, anything else on 8? If not, we'll go to 9. But it kind of 9 falls right into it. So let's just go on into 9. We can come back to 8, 7, or any part of it, because this is the last verse of the song. It says, before, this is interesting the way it's written. It says, before the Lord. So we're going to clap of exaltation. We're going to clap our hands, and then we're going to do all this. And then it says in 98:9, where are you going to do this? You're going to do it before the Lord. Okay? For he comes to judge the earth. Now, we talked last week a lot about the earth. And we talked about the sea. And we talked about the earth. And we talked about the heavens. So now we have a better idea. He's going to come to judge the earth. Well, what was the earth? The earth was anything. I mean, how can you judge the sea? They don't even know you exist, basically. I mean, so he's come to judge the earth. And you can call it, it's the threes, you know. You can call it the outer court, the inner court, the most holy place. You can call it the body, the soul, the spirit, his spirit. You can call it whatever you want, but it's that mixture that he's going to judge. But it's going to be judged with righteousness. Shall he judge the world and the people with equity? Now, I just thought this was interesting. He's going to come judge, it says, the earth. Okay? Then it goes on to say, with righteousness shall he judge the world. So now, you know, they're two different words. They're not the same word. The earth, it says in these Strong's, as opposed to heaven. Okay? So we know what the earth represents. We talked about it a lot last week. But the world is its inhabitants. And the root of that word, world, is to bring, lead, carry. And we're back to that word, to flow, which was the root definition of clap. And then it also means to reign. Not reign, rule and reign, but R-A-I-N. It will reign on the just and the unjust. So its inhabitants, and the root is to bring, to lead, to carry, to flow, to reign. I mean, that word flow, when a river's flowing, you can't distinguish between where that creek came into that river and where that other river comes into that. It's a river.
It's all moving.
It's all moving, it's all together, and it's all flowing. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants us to do as believers, good morning, is to flow with him. And if we're flowing with him, then we're going to flow with each other. Mm-hmm. And if we're flowing with each other, then there's a oneness to all that, and there's definitely a unity with all that. And with the unity comes great power. I like in Jeremiah, you can read a whole chapter of 31, but I just broke down Jeremiah 31, 8, starting with 8. And I love what he says in Jeremiah. It says, watch what comes next. I like it when the Lord really gets your attention and says, okay, what's coming next is really important, so really watch for this, you know. And this is what he's saying about bringing back the Jews from Babylon, but this is happening right now in the world that we're in today. I'll bring my people back from the north country, okay. Where do we find the enemies coming in from?
The north.
The north. So he's going to bring his people back from the north. Were you his people before you made that confession in Holiday Inn or in your bathroom or in the car where I did it or wherever, in the church where you did it? And whatever. Were you his people? Of course. Of course you were his people. So he's going to bring back. And I like that word, bring back. Because guess what? At one time, they were there. And now, they went astray or whatever, and now he's going to bring them back.
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 8. So he's going to gather them up from the ends of the earth. Well, what's not included in the ends of the earth? What's not included there? What part of the earth or world or whatever is included? It's all of it. He's going to go to the ends of the earth to find his people and bring them back out of that north country, out of that realm of confusion and enemy and whatever, you know. And it says, gather those who've gone blind. Now we know he's not talking about a physical blindness. We know he's talking about a spiritual blindness. We were all blind, but now we see. And those who are lame and limping. Man, there's tons of people out there lame and limping spiritually. He's going to gather pregnant women. What do you think he means spiritually by that? Even mothers whose birth pains have started. There's a birthing going on. There's people pregnant out there, right?
That's right.
We want to learn more about God.
Yeah, they're ready to birth something that the Lord has for them.
Right.
Some kind of offspring or something that God has given you that you're going to birth out, and it may be just talking to people. It may be a ministry. It may be whatever, you know, but something is birthing out of us because he's not poured all this into you, Lisa, to just let it lay dormant and to not bring forth fruit.
You better not. I need it.
The people need it around you more, though. You've got it. You know, they need it, some of them, you know.
You know, Rich, talking about, you said threes.
Yeah.
I was going down the freeway yesterday with Marge on our way to the Pancake House, and I thought, I said, get your pen. The Lord started downloading. And one of the threes that he gave me was press into perceive. And perceive means to become conscious of something and to come to realization and understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, press into perceive, then make contact to conceive, meaning to birth, to become pregnant. To form a plan or an idea in your mind. And the third part was, and the Lord said, and I will give you the faith to believe, accepting something as true if you're sure of the truth. So the Lord said, first you must press in and perceive.
Wow.
Then you will make contact with me.
Wow.
And you will conceive and bring forth birth. And I will give you the faith to believe and accept what I have told you is true and encourage you to go on in the vision. So
that's exactly what he's saying here.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to gather pregnant women.
Yeah.
That they're in that perception realm.
They've conceived
the seed. Yeah. But they've even started their birth pangs. So they're ready to bring forth that baby.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready to bring forth that belief. But God has been working inside of that person to bring about this ultimate belief of whatever, you know, whatever he's trying to do there.
To fulfill their destiny.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it says, those are lame, limping, gather pregnant women, even the mothers whose birth pangs have started, bring them all back, a huge crowd. Did you have something?
Well, I was just thinking about when you were talking about righteousness before.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, the word for righteousness, the actual definition of that Greek word in the New Testament means equity of character or act. And you were talking about the word about equity of character, you know. And, you know, I looked it up one time in a regular dictionary, and it meant a system of jurisprudence transcending natural law. In other words, something that's
way beyond
natural law.
Yeah.
Natural law is you do something, you're punished.
Mm-hmm.
God's law is his forgiveness is extended to you.
Yes.
Because he never, you know, when they brought the woman they caught in the act of adultery, what did he do?
Mm-hmm.
No man accused you, no man
right.
Lord, neither do I. Go and sin no more.
Right.
You know, and people don't realize the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. And also, when we get down to the judgment of God, which I think you mentioned that too.
We're going to get into the war, yeah.
Okay, I was just going to say, the judgment of God, really, the scripture says to know you not that the saints will judge the world. We're going to judge the world.
I've got
the,
you're reading my mind.
Okay, I won't say anything.
No,
I'll
good.
Let you bring it out.
Yeah, I'm going to just bring it out, good. But I want you to expound on it. But,
well,
go ahead.
No, are you in, where are you in 9?
Yeah, the last verse.
The last sentence?
The last verse, go ahead.
Did you already read it?
Yeah.
Okay, so my thing is, he sees our sins and he knows our sins, but he can look past it and, like, loves us unconditionally, doesn't judge us for it.
Right.
That's my take on that.
Doesn't hold our sins
right.
accountable.
Exactly.
We're not held
right.
accountable. There, you know, I've said this before. I said, he hasn't wiped the slate clean because there's no slate to wipe clean.
Right.
He makes no account. It's not like he's got a whiteboard writing down our sins, and then he says, well, I'm just going to wipe it all out.
I know, but God is not stupid and says, well, Lisa, you keep doing the same stupid thing. What are you?
Yeah, but you're already forgiven for it. He's not judging you. It's for it.
Is it stupid? Yeah, but you're still forgiven.
Because he loves you unconditionally.
Lisa, there is a law of reaping and sowing in the natural world.
Thank you.
He
will chasten us.
If you, well, if you go out and rob a bank, you're going to get put in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. God's forgiven you for robbing a bank.
Right.
But there's a reaping and sowing in the earth.
Right.
These are stupid
well,
stuff.
You have to like
the
live
earth will chasten
too.
You.
Well,
gotcha.
Scripture also says that your own iniquity will chasten
right.
you.
Thank you. Right.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, you get
God.
Chastened by the things you do.
Yeah. Yeah, like
when you make stupid,
when
you make stupid decisions, guess what? Stupid stuff happens to
right.
you.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, I mean, and well, a lot of times people will stand back and say, God, I can't believe that this happened to me because you love me.
Right.
Well, he didn't let it happen to you. You thrown it upon
right.
yourself
yeah.
a lot of times.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
we get, well, how it's supposed to work is, you know, you do something you shouldn't do and you get convicted, you know you shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And you get forgiven. Well, you're already forgiven, I guess.
Yeah.
But then you're not going to keep doing it again is my whole point. You know?
Even if you do, you're forgiven,
and then
but there's still consequences
yeah.
to sin.
Okay,
there's consequences.
This is the only way I can understand, Lisa, because I can understand it from, like, having kids, okay? They mess up, and they might really do some bad, stupid things, but you still love them. You're going to still be there, really,
yeah.
no matter what they do.
Right.
I'm not keeping a journal of every bad thing Tyler did. And, you know, he got disciplined or punished for, but, you know what I mean? Like, I
right.
still love him just the same.
Right.
When you brought this up before, Oscar, like, Jeffrey Dahmer's dad was sitting right there with him
yeah,
after all of that.
His mom, yeah.
And he saw him every, they saw him every day. And
yeah.
look at bad stuff he did.
Yeah, I think, I believe his mom said, he'll always be my beloved son.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so.
So I mean, you know,
God's
even though he was,
like,
it turned into a monster, so
yep.
to speak,
right.
in that sense.
I mean, God's
the same
way.
Will always be with the beloved son,
right.
you know.
Amen.
You know.
But I know what Lisa's saying, because it is confusing. It's like, okay, so if you do the same bad thing day after, you don't learn from it, then
right.
yeah, there's a problem probably.
Yeah.
But.
Well, but it's still, there's consequences.
Right, exactly.
If you break the law,
right.
you go out there and you go 80 in the 25, you're going to get caught eventually. And then if you keep doing it, you're going to get, sooner or later, you're going to lose your license.
Right.
But God, it has nothing to do with God's forgiveness or lack of forgiveness. It has nothing at all to do with that at all.
You know, one time, Margaret and I was at a concert, and there was a Mark Lowry concert, and they had Anthony Berger was there playing the piano. This was before he passed away. And when he was a little boy, you know, they had one of those stoves, you know, like, I guess like a Potbelly stove or something like that. And they kept telling him, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove.
Of course he touched the stove.
Well, he put his hand
yeah.
on the stove.
That's like saying,
yeah.
And it burned him so bad that they said he would never be able to use his hands. You know, I mean,
wow.
that was his testimony. Like, his hands would be so bad, were burnt so bad that he'd never really be able to use his hands. But guess what? God had a different plan.
That's right.
And that man can play the piano
yeah.
fantastically.
I've never heard of that. I've never even heard of
that.
Well,
he shared that testimony at that concert, see.
That's
and
cool.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times you don't realize the miraculous things that God has done in some of those people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And with him, you know, his hands were burned so bad that they didn't think he would ever, you know, be able to do much of anything with his hands. And here he was a great piano player. I mean, it was great, you know. But there again, his disobedience cost him. He went through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and everything else.
There you go.
But God's mercy was still there.
That's right.
And allowing him to get to a place where he could play the piano wonderfully, you know. So you never know.
What I love about this, it says it's, he's going to bring them all back. He's going to bring them all back.
You don't have it on.
Here, I'm sitting there thinking you all can see it.
I thought, well, it's just not working. I didn't say anything.
But you should. If you ever see this not working, it's because I did something wrong.
It still didn't come on. The lights.
Red.
The light's not on?
Yeah, it's still red.
The bottom one.
Power's not on, yes.
Is that okay?
Maybe they turned it off down on the floor. You might
No,
check.
It's lit. There it goes.
It's coming.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, I love it says he will bring them all back.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
I mean, come on. It didn't say he'll bring a couple of them back, or he'll bring most of them back, or 50% of them. It says he's going to bring them all back, and he calls it a huge crowd. A huge crowd. So anyway, I just love that. It says, and then Jeremiah gets excited. He says, watch them come. You know, wait and on the Lord and watch him move in our lives, and oh my gosh, it's just so glorious. It says they'll come weeping for joy. Now is that a God that's going to just put everybody in hell forever and ever?
Tell them what your scripture was. It was Jeremiah.
I'm sorry,
I'm on Jeremiah. What version is
Jeremiah?
It says all.
31:8.
Which translation are you in?
I don't know. I go through a bunch of different translations. Sometimes I write them down, sometimes I don't. This is probably Message. It's probably the Message. But it says, watch them come. Now, I mean, that's God's excited about when someone comes to him. He's excited about that. And as throngs of people are going to come to him. We're in that time, I think. We're in that hour. They'll come weeping for joy. I mean, is there anything more precious than someone who finally gets that revelation of Jesus Christ and begins weeping? I mean, is there anything more precious than that? I mean, gosh, just the thought of that, it almost gets me weeping. I mean, it's just so awesome that the eyes are open, the ears are unstopped, and man, they now see Jesus. And it's like, they just can't do anything but weep. And it says, as I take their hands and lead them. That's how much God loves his creation, his every single human being. He's going to take them by the hand and lead them. And here we are back to that word flow, man. That just seems to be the word today. Lead them to fresh flowing brooks. Guess who the fresh flowing brooks are? It's us. Just like Oscar's sermon last week, you know, we got to put our name into all this because this book is written for us. Lead them along, I love this, smooth, uncluttered paths. Man, nothing like a smooth, uncluttered path instead of a path that's full of pitfalls and rocks and hurdles and that you have to go over and all. Man, he's going to make it smooth and uncluttered. Wow, it's awesome. Yes, it's because I'm Israel's father. Who's Israel?
It's us too.
Yep.
Who?
Us.
The people. Israel, the people of God.
The new Israel. The spiritual Israel.
The spiritual Israel.
Yeah.
Rich is saying.
And this is just so cool right here. I just love this verse, as you can tell. I love it. And Ephraim...
Can we give her an explanation of that?
Yeah.
In the New Testament, It says, they are not all Israel, which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. And Isaac was the son of promise, you know. And we're the son of promise. We've been redeemed by the promises of God. And, you know, when Paul said they're not all Israel, which are Israel, what he was really saying is that Israel was Jacob after he had been redeemed, see, and he was given the promise that his seed would be as Abraham, his seed would be like the stars of the heavens,
mm-hmm.
and that takes in all of Christianity, see. So the real true spiritual Israel is the people who serve God. See.
And what does his name mean?
What's that?
Israel?
Israel means he shall rule as God.
And that's exactly what
that's
we're talking about.
That's the actual meaning
here.
Of the name Judgment. Israel. He shall rule as God. If he rules as God in your life,
there
guess
you
who
go.
You are?
That's right.
You're Israel. Spiritual Israel.
Spiritual.
Yeah. There's a natural, there's always a natural and a spiritual. And the natural things declare the things of the Spirit. Now, if you look at the natural over there and look at natural Israel, all of the enemies are around them. And you think, why in the world, as much as they hate Israel over there, why couldn't they just go in and totally wipe that place out? Israel's not much bigger than one of our little states.
Oh, small.
It's small. But yet, God has kept his hand on that because the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. And in the natural, they've tried to destroy Israel, and they can't. In the spiritual, the enemies that come against you are going to try to destroy you,
mm-hmm.
but guess what?
They can't.
They can't. Because you are more than a conqueror. You're victorious. You're all of these things because of what he did on Calvary. Not because of what you did, but because of what he did by the grace of God. See? So when you see these things, that's where everybody gets screwed up when they're, to be honest with you, when they're looking at Scripture. The definition of what's going on is somewhere else in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seek out the definition.
Rightly
dividing the word. They don't rightly divide it. In other words, rightly understand it. The definitions for everything that's going on in the Scriptures is in the Scriptures. If God opens your eyes to
and
see
And here's
it.
A great example.
Yeah.
Right here it says, yes, it's because I'm Israel's father, and Ephraim's, now anything you see in parentheses, I added to it.
Uh-huh.
And Ephraim's my firstborn son. Well, Ephraim wasn't Joseph's firstborn son. Manasseh was.
Yeah.
But it says, Ephraim was my firstborn son. But the word Ephraim means double portion. The word Manasseh means causing to forget. So, we probably won't do it here, but if you want to write down Genesis 48, 13 to 20, Genesis 48, 13 to 20 gives the whole story of how Joseph took Ephraim and Manasseh into Israel, who was Jacob, and for the blessing. And Manasseh was the firstborn. The firstborn always got the blessing.
Right.
And what happened was Jacob, or Israel, put his right hand on the head of Ephraim. And it actually ticked Joseph off. I mean, he was kind of incensed by it, but he realizes his dad was older and couldn't see very well, maybe, and whatever, and that maybe he just made a mistake. So he
Tell
tried
the meaning too of the two names. That's very significant.
Yeah, Manasseh is causing to forget. Ephraim is double fruited or even double ash, which means that as your hay, wood, and stubble gets burned out, or in other words, all the negative things in us gets burned out by the Lord, the double portion comes forth. So it's really interesting. But it's interesting that here it is in Jeremiah, the prophet saying that Ephraim was my firstborn son. Interesting. He was Joseph's secondborn son, and if you really want to read up on that, read Genesis 48, 13 to 20. actually, the whole Genesis 48 chapter would be good to read, but it's just interesting how God has a plan that sometimes, most of the times maybe in some cases, is so much different than what we think. Joseph was sitting there saying, well, here's Manasseh. Here's my firstborn. He's going to get the blessing. Well, guess what? There's a history in his lineage where that didn't always happen, because Israel had a brother named Esau. Esau was the older brother. Guess what? Jacob got the blessing from Isaac.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how God has another plan, and those who will be last will be first sometimes. And go ahead.
Can I say something? That story in the Old Testament where Joseph put his hands on the two sons. You know, when Joseph brought his two sons before Jacob or Israel, because he had had an encounter with God, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and Jacob was blind. He said he was blind for old age; he couldn't see. And when Joseph brought the two sons before him, it says in the scripture that he beheld them. Israel beheld them, not Jacob. Israel beheld them. And that meant that literally he was beholding them by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. He had the true vision, and he put his right hand on the youngest ones and his left hand on the oldest one. Look what he did when he did that. What does that look like?
Cross.
He made the sign of the cross.
Everything's perfect.
That's exactly what he did. He made the sign of the cross. And then he blessed the younger son. See, but Ephraim means double portion or dual fruited, like Rich was saying. And Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Now, if you do greater works than what he did, you'd have to have a double portion to do that. See, and you know, I mean, when this stuff all gets woven together, it is stuff, man, the Bible is so perfect. The way God laid it all out. I mean, it's just, it amazes, as he opens it up to you, it excites you, don't it?
It's
exciting as his word, because you think, my God, it just so fits when he opens your eyes to really see it, what's there.
And the only way Jeremiah could have written this is by the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the only way, because it would make no sense any other way
but
by the Spirit. And that's why, you know, it's sad to say, you've got a lot of so-called experts that read the book of Revelation or read the book of Daniel, and they think they've got this whole thing figured out. They got charts up on the wall when the Antichrist comes on the scene and this day of tribulation begins. And I mean, it's like, wait a minute, you know, everything has to be taken by the Spirit.
Right.
Because you will get yourself in serious trouble if you don't.
Mm-hmm. See, it was like I said last week, you know, people are talking about building the temple over in Jerusalem again.
Yeah.
Well, if you read up in the New Testament and it says, know you not that you're the temple of God. If you're the temple of God,
there shouldn't be
why is he going to let them build a literal temple over in Jerusalem again? He's not, because you're the temple of God. And you know, but it comes down, as Scripture says, he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. If you come to the Lord with the attitude of, Lord, I'm just a baby in you, please teach me. Please show me the things you want me to see. My God, he'll open up so many things to you as you're able to receive them. It'll just, so to speak, knock your socks off. I mean, you know, because you'll just think, wow, it's so perfect. You know, and that's what Rich is, you know, he's laying this all out perfectly. I mean, it's very good.
What's interesting is he's also in this scripture, he's having us use our spiritual senses, because he says, watch them come. So that's using your eyes. And then the next thing we're going to see is he's going to say, hear this, nations, God's message. Well, what's God's message? It's all about love, salvation, deliverance. It's about the Son Jesus Christ coming so that we would have all this inheritance.
Yeah.
It says, Broadcast this over the world. Tell them, the one who scattered Israel will gather them together. Jesus said, oh Israel, if I could, just like a hen gathers her chicks, if I could just do that, you know. From now on, he'll keep a careful eye on them, like a shepherd with his flock. I, God, will pay a stiff ransom price for who? Doesn't say for Israel, it says for Jacob.
Yeah.
up here he's saying Israel. He's saying Israel. No, he says, because I'm Israel's father.
Right.
Okay, you can take that two ways. Jacob, who became Israel's father, mm-hmm. or our father. It's both. But down here it says, I will pay a stiff ransom price for Jacob. What was that stiff ransom price? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall have eternal life. That Jesus didn't come to judge the world, condemn the world, whatever. He came to save them. That's the stiff ransom that the Lord paid for Jacob. Says, I'll free him from the grip of the Babylonian, and I put the word religion, which is what many, many people need right now, is to get freed from their religious stereotypes and confusion and traditions and what of men and whatever. But I love it, says here, I'll free him from the grip of the Babylonian bully. Man, it can be a bully. Can't religion be a bully? I mean, look at some of these. Julie and I were talking about it at the car, how religion can be a bully, man. I mean, she was told that if she didn't get baptized in this one church, that she wasn't saved.
It wouldn't make no difference if she was baptized in another church. They wanted you to be in that
church.
They said if something happened to me, you know, that mm-hmm. they didn't know what would, where I would go. Like, I left that church and died and didn't get baptized.
Yeah. Now, is that a bully?
Yeah.
That's about as big a bully as you can find.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I love that. It says, freed from the grip. Thank God we're freed from the grip of Babylonian bullies out there. Mm-hmm. The people will climb up Zion slopes, shouting with joy. Mm-hmm. Again, who's Zion? Us. People are going to come to you, and they're going to want the truth, and you're going to have the truth. And you say, well, I'm not ready yet. Oh, yes, you are. Because in due season and at the right time, God's going to give you the right words to say. Just what that person needed right then in that time. Their faces beaming. Oh, man. If they're shouting with joy and their faces are beaming, man, you just set that person free by what the Lord gave you. And man, what a great feeling to see someone, see the chains and the bondages just drop and that they become a free person like you are, of God's bounty. And boy, God has given us a bounty, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
That word equity, back to that scripture up here, that word equity scripture that we did, it says that He will judge the world and the people with equity. Mm-hmm. And I looked up that word equity. Oh, we're at the end. So that,
well, what does
we'll
it
do
say?
This.
Because, yeah, what? Equity is like you have skin in the game. I mean, you have some value.
Evenness, uprightness, straightness. But this is what I love. It also means happiness. He's going to rule you with happiness. He's not going to judge you with eternal punishment and, you know, severe torture and whatever. Happiness, peace, friendship. And there's people turning off this message now on the internet. Hopefully not. We hope and pray they have ears to hear. But happiness, peace, friendship. But the root of this word equity that he's going to judge people with is pleasing, pleasant, and prosperous. That's not what you're hearing out there, is it?
No.
Well, we can go on next week, I guess.
Good. Very good.
Okay. Well, anybody want to volunteer to pray today?
I'll pray.
Okay.
Okay, today, God, we want to thank you for this time to spend together. Thank you for our health. Thank you for having Rich teach this class and interact with each other. And thank you for the pastor and everybody at Wings so we can learn from each other and hopefully enlighten our walk with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.